Heavenly Father, we pray that as we come and look into your word, that you would be with us and help us. Help us, we pray, to get the gold out because it's there. And help us to get it into our minds and our hearts, we pray. In Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
In 1967, a 20-year-old athlete by the name of Katherine Switzer made history by becoming the first woman to run the Boston Marathon in the USA, the first woman to run the Boston Marathon in the USA. It was generally understood, just a general thing, that this marathon was for men, but there was nothing in the rule book to the contrary. So Katherine registered for the marathon under her name, Kaylee Switzer. And she received a race number, which she pinned onto her bib before running like everyone else. During the race, let's take some believing, but during the race, she was physically attacked by the race manager who tried to grab her race number from her and remove her from the competition. The race manager also knocked her trainer and fellow runner to the ground before being stopped by Katherine's boyfriend, who was also running in the race. Despite all the opposition and obstacles, Katherine Switzer completed the race. That was an extraordinary occurrence, an extraordinary time, when completing the course was the main objective for anyone, let alone all the obstacles. And our reading from 2 Timothy encourages Timothy and us to keep going despite the difficulties, dangers, and troubles that we face in living out our faith. And indeed, we've had some really difficult situations that have been and still are being faced by people in this church. In fact, all of us cannot have lived as long as we have without having had to face several difficulties in our lives. As Paul writes to Timothy, and Paul was having his own difficulties because he was in prison in Rome, awaiting trial and probable execution. And yet he writes and encourages his charge, Timothy, to keep the pattern of sound teaching that he had previously taught him. If you look at just back on a page or two, you'll see chapter 1, verse 13. And it says there, "What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus." That's chapter 1, verse 13. And he follows this in verse 14, by saying, "Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." Now, having done that, just turn to chapter 2, which is entitled The Appeal Renewed, and we'll read the first 10 verses out loud together. Okay? "So then, my son,
be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in being a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one ever entangled in civilian affairs. Rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who completes an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hard-working farmer will be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is the gospel which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything, that they too may obtain the salvation through Christ Jesus with eternal glory.
So Timothy is encouraged to be strong in Christ Jesus and the grace that the Lord has given him, and pass on Paul's teachings to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Timothy must avoid false teaching, it says in verses 6 to 18, and in verse 24 it says he must be kind to everyone. Now, chapter 3 begins with talk of the last days. Do you see that? But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. You see, Paul has had a close relationship with Timothy, whom he describes in the first two verses of the letter. He describes him as his true son in the faith. Also, he describes him as my dear son. And there are three things to think about. The first thing is this, that there are two very different ways of living in these last days. And the last days in Scripture don't just refer, as it were, to the few days before, or the period of time before Christ comes. It refers to the last days are in Scripture from when Christ came to the very end. So we all live in the last days. And Paul addresses the sinful way in chapter 3. As you look down in chapter 3, you'll see in the first 9 verses, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. Now this, of course, is not the way he expects Timothy to live. No, he expects Timothy to remain faithful to the teachings that he has learned from infancy. Just have a look at chapter 3 and verse 15. And how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. It is probable that these truths have been passed down to him by his grandmother, who is Lois, and by his mother, which is Eunice. If you look in chapter 1 and verse 5, you'll see those three people mentioned, his grandmother and his mother. And one of the greatest privileges that parents and grandparents have is passing on the faith to their offspring. The Roman Catholics put it very well, I think. They say, give me a child for 7 years, and we have got him for, or her for life. How important is godly teaching to our children, and indeed our grandchildren? And indeed, Timothy was so strong in the faith because his parents and grandparents had such a strong testimony on a day-by-day basis, i.e. God was revered in the home. He would have seen a godly way in how issues were spoken of in the home, how they were dealt with. The attitude to others, both inside and outside of the home. They would have read the Holy Scriptures together. They would have prayed together. So there's a way to life against the Lord, and very much a way to life to live for him. And the lives of his grandmother and mother, Lois and Eunice, would have been witness to the fact that the Holy Scriptures are no ordinary text. Indeed, in 3:15 it says, and we read together, the Holy Scriptures are able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And that's why it says what it does in the next verse, in chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is God-breathed. That's a tremendously well-known verse in Scripture. And it says it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So where does that leave us? Well, it leaves us asking ourselves a question, I hope. Do we spend some time each day to read the Scriptures? Even 5 to 10 minutes is good. And if we live with husband or wife, then reading it with them is the very best. And praying with them. And using a Bible plan, book of notes or whatever, all sorts of Bible plans. We can even, if reading's a problem for dyslexic people, they can go online and they can have Scriptures read to them. On a daily basis, there are ways to do that. And one of the ways that the Bible is described is that it is food for our souls. In our homes, we don't just eat once a week, do we? We might eat 3 times a day. Even in our later years, I appreciate the meals may not be quite as big as they were when you were in your younger years, when there was never a moment when you weren't hungry. Well, certainly if you were a boy, and about a girl, but I mean, my 2 boys, they were forever hungry. I mean that, and I just think of them, what they ate. And the one, funnily enough, the one that ate the most is still about 34 round the waist. Yeah, absolute sin, really. I mean, what he ate was quite a sin. Well, we won't go into it. He just ate. You know, he ought to have been in the national team. But it's all I want to say about that is we don't just eat once a week, do we? We don't just eat once a week because we've been no good. And the same happens in the spiritual life. We're not anywhere near as good as we ought to. If we're only going to come to church once a week and hear the Scriptures, we need to read the Scriptures every day. It's a great habit. The Lord loves you to read the Scriptures, and He speaks to you through them, and speaks to us through them. It's great. And of course, the Scripture is God's gift to the world. God wants us to share it. It starts with us sharing within the family. In Timothy's family, where Eunice and Lois were there together, sharing the Scriptures not only with each other, but with him. I'm not quite sure where Dad was. It doesn't say where Dad was. And where believers also meet together from their local church. And it's good to meet together. And we find that the Bible, as it describes itself in Hebrews, is it both alive and active. And we can read the same passage a number of times, and the Holy Spirit can illuminate something different to us each time we read it. Don't think that just because you've read a scripture once, even if it appears to you very simple, that you've got the whole truth of it. You've got the truth that the Lord's sharing with you for that time. You come back a few weeks later, a few months later, maybe even years later than that bit of scripture, and you read it again, and you'll say, I never knew it said that. Wow, and God is just opening your mind up to other things the Scripture is saying. It's an exciting experience. The third thing is that we need to share the good news of Jesus while people still want to listen. At the beginning of chapter 4 in this letter, Paul looks forward to the second coming of Christ, but he's also aware there is much work to be done before that happens. And Paul gives us a chance. Look at the end of verse 1 of chapter 4 and verse 2. This is the left, and this is the charge that Paul gives to Timothy. Don't forget, Paul is in prison. Timothy's out on the job. He says, I give you this charge. Verse 2, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Now, a charge is a solemn declaration made before witnesses in a legal case. So Paul is both serious and clear about what needs to be done with the truths that Timothy knows. Don't keep them to yourself. There is certainly an urgency, because a time is coming when, in Paul's words here, people will not put up with sound doctrine. They suit themselves, their own desires, they gather around him a large number of teachers who will tell them what their itching ears long to hear. And the words of Scripture, and the charge that, of course, Paul is giving to Timothy, all this has to be shared with others. Every single believer the world over is called to share the gospel of Christ in one way or another. I mean, in our country, for younger ladies, the school gate seems to me to be a wonderful place to share some of the good news. A, because ladies are like they are. That's not an insult. Ladies are like they are. And you put them together and they chat very easily. And they'll chat about personal things. You put a group of men together, and what are they going to talk about? They're going to talk about football, rugby, the car, the bike, or whatever. Something in the middle. But ladies talk about their heart, their family, what's going on. I mean, they're much more personable by nature. And if you can talk, men can talk about the scriptures, but they've got to do it somewhere else. They're either going to do it in the pub, or they're going to do it perhaps at work, if there's a possibility. Or they're going to do it when they're bending over a car together, trying to find out how it works or why it doesn't work, over a bike or something like that. Men do it differently. And they're far more reticent. That's no reason why they shouldn't share it. But some men are not reticent. I appreciate that. Like, some ladies probably are a little more restrained than others. But it's just a general passing by. But whatever. The Lord's desire is that we share God's word. And it's such a privilege to share God's word. You know, you have got, most of you, physical children. But the great thing about sharing God's word is that you're going to have spiritual children. Now, when a person comes to faith in Christ, they don't necessarily come to faith in Christ on the first word that's spoken to them. Not very often. You might be a person who is number 6 in the links of a chain to speaking to somebody about the Lord. You don't know the other links of the chain, but you've spoken to this person about the Lord. And there were 15 links in the chain before that person became a Christian. But you are part of that person's spiritual parentage if you have spoken to them about the Lord. And it's great, because the Lord wants us to have spiritual children and spiritual grandchildren. And it's a great privilege, and it's a great pleasure. Some of them, I don't want to know about that. I've got a friend. I see every week, actually. And he said, I don't want to know, end of story. Well, fair enough. Okay, don't want to know the story. I don't know what went wrong somewhere along the line. We've never been able to get to that. I mean, he'll speak about anything else, but he's not going to speak about that. So, you know, that's how the situation is. But But there are others, you know, you may have come across friends like that, but there are others that with whom one can share God's word. And when you share God's word, they say, well, how do you know that? And you say, well, I know that because the Bible tells me that. Scripture tells me that. And they will go and look for themselves. Now, I want to tell you the story that the Bible Society shared. And it was a story about a person called Darius, because surprisingly enough, all across the world, there are people who are hungry to hear God's word, and sometimes far more hungry than they are in this country. And one such person was a guy called Darius, and he grew up in a strict Muslim family in Iran. But the violence and the brutality of Iran's regime caused doubts to set in. Little by little, he began to hate Islam, and he confided, "I felt empty." And so Darius began searching. He read bits of scripture online, and then a friend invited him to an underground house church. Now, I wonder what you would have done. Accepting an invitation to an underground house church was an enormous risk. It could end up in you going to jail or even being tortured. Would you go? But in that small group, he went. In that small group, the Holy Spirit touched Darius's heart. I mean, Darius had already said, I don't accept things easily. I just want to sit there and watch what happens. But that wasn't God's plan. God touched his heart, and he was converted the first time he went into this house church. And it was amazing. He said, I just sat there and prayed and became a believer. Scripture changes lives and keeps changing them as we move, as we live. If we keep reading it, it keeps changing us. More like the Lord Jesus Christ. You won't be surprised to learn that for Darius, things became difficult in Iran. But now he's over here in this country seeking refuge. When he walked into a United Kingdom church for the first time ever, Darius was welcomed with open arms. What a delight that was, and how great to hear that. So we've just seen today, there are two very different ways of living in these last days. A sinful way, and the way where God is at the center. We've learned again, as we knew before, that all scripture is inspired by God. And when Paul wrote that, the main scriptures that he was thinking about, the New Testament wasn't written. He was thinking about the Old Testament. All scripture is inspired by God. And the last thing he talked about was share the main message of scripture while there's still time. Just tell people about the Lord Jesus. And God will bless you for it, and bless them, we hope. Right. Let's sing our, not our last hymn, but our next hymn, because we're going to meet around the Lord's table.